Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. We got several Florida men here making news, which is what they do every single day. First, a guy in Florida who fell asleep in a Taco Bell drive-thru was found to be intoxicated behind the wheel of said vehicle. Not all that surprising. If you fall asleep after, I don't know if you even ordered the tacos, but you're like, man, I'm real hungry. But also it's nap time, so I'm just going to pass out for a bit. I wonder if you even had to breathalyze the guy, or if you just looked at him and you're like, look, sir, it's Florida. You're asleep. You're in a Taco Bell drive-thru. Let's just go ahead and have you plead guilty to DUI here. I don't know if you're going to have to try that hard. But nonetheless, yes, he was drunk. Yes, that's a crime, even if you're not moving, well, currently behind the wheel of a running vehicle. So you were booked and there are going to be charges and whatnot. I find that very interesting, again, that he couldn't decide which was more important, a few Z's or finishing the Taco Bell drive-thru and then maybe passing out in one of the parking spaces with taco on your face. You can eat some of the taco and then go to sleep. That seems like a better move. Not trying to help him do things better, just saying. Another guy in Florida led police on a high-speed chase after actually very, you know, kind of frighteningly striking an officer with a stolen car. The officer is going to be okay. Had some injuries. But apparently that wasn't the only part of this chase that was wild. The guy even like ran into basically the forest at one point, had cops chasing him. Tasers were involved. Other things happened. I wonder at what point in the I'm running from the cops thing, do you know it was a horrible decision? I would think that most of us don't do this because we know from jump we shouldn't do it. But I think when you're out of the vehicle as a dude, running in some sort of place you shouldn't be in anymore, and there's tasers and a bunch of cops there, it's got to dawn on you, I probably shouldn't have run to begin with. I probably shouldn't have tried to get away in that stolen vehicle and done this other stuff. I imagine that's the moment. Now, the only disappointment I have in this story is that unlike most Florida stories, the guy didn't just strip naked at some point, because that also seems to happen. It doesn't help anybody. It's not something that makes anything better. It would make me much more intimidated by a dude who's breaking the law if they're also naked. But nonetheless, it's probably the best strategy that I'm glad he didn't try to employ himself that also failed. You also don't get away from the cops based on some sort of, we don't want to arrest you because of nudity rule. But nonetheless, didn't happen this time. Usually happens in this type of Florida story. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Celebrate America's founding principles of God-given natural rights, liberty, and limited government with Hillsdale College. And thanks to the team at Hillsdale College, you can watch an inspiring portrayal of Thomas Jefferson reflecting on the Declaration of Independence in a letter that he wrote late in his life. Watch the inspiring video on Thomas Jefferson's letter about the Declaration of Independence written on its 50th anniversary. Amidst the far left's rejection of liberty and equality, let's reaffirm these principles as America's source of greatness, a treasure to preserve. Join me in reminding ourselves and our children and our fellow citizens about the blessings of liberty. Since its founding in 1844, Hillsdale College has stayed true to its mission of providing the education necessary to safeguard principles rooted in the Declaration signed on July 4th. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com to view this video and receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale as our thanks. Keep it or pass it on. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. And on behalf of Hillsdale College, let us always treasure America's independence.
All right, let's start here. I thought part of the White House press secretary back and forth with the White House press corps was really fascinating. And the reason why is these questions should have been asked, I don't know, 3 years ago by a lot of these press members. And they should have been angry that they weren't getting better answers 3 years ago. But now everybody is pretending as though this is new and not something we've seen for a while. And they're asking these questions finally. and the White House is being caught in weird lie after weird lie. There's like a 2-minute version or even a 3-minute version of this back and forth with Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and CBS News correspondents and other, you know, it's not just Fox News. For anyone that wants to get mad when they ask the tough questions, this is all the legacy media people that have been ignoring these questions for way longer than Fox has. Here we go. Here's a little bit of that back and forth.
That he gets every year that we provide to all of them.
You know, that's a very basic, direct question.
Wait, hold on. How dare you? Eight times, or at least once...
In regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
What you should be able to...
All right. Now, again, I want to pause it for a second. That is CBS News. That's their press guy. She's going to call him Ed a whole bunch of times. And if you can't see it, because obviously this is radio, that's who that is. But nonetheless, he's just asking a very basic question. Actually, other reporters were asking it, too. Did a neurologist that specializes in Parkinson's disease see the president 8 times over the last 2 years, starting in about December of 2022? Is that something that happened? Because the New York Times says it is. Will you tell us whether or not it's something that happened? Did the president see this doctor? Oh, by the way, as you'll hear in this back and forth, that should be public information. That's not something that you should be able to keep secret behind the podium as the press secretary, which apparently Corinne Jean-Pierre is willfully unaware of or absolutely aware of and doesn't care. Here we go.
Answer by this point.
Wait, no. No, wait a minute.
How dare you?
Please, a little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's 3 times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist 3 times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that he has seen them 3 times.
Where?
That is what I'm sharing with you.
I love how desperate the questions get, by the way, because the where might help answer who it was, because the New York Times said that this happened at Walter Reed and not actually at the White House. So just tell us where, and maybe we'll be able to piece this together.
Right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. It is. You're asking me. I also said to you, Ed, I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names.
Darn those security reasons that are definitely not real, that you can absolutely give information about something that's supposed to be public record. That makes no sense.
We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly, from a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons. We have to protect.
It's a visitor log.
I understand that.
I hear you. Right there for anyone to see.
Ed, I love it. I love that the CBS guy is like, I looked it up right before I walked in here. It's a public record. I'm just asking you, did this doctor who came to this place see the president or somebody else? And she's like, how dare you, sir? This is completely inappropriate questions. It just keeps going crazy.
I hear you. I cannot from here confirm any of that because we have to keep their privacy. I think they would appreciate that, too. We have to give them.
Question of the doctor.
We have to keep their privacy.
It's public information. I hear you. Hold on a second.
There's no reason to go back and forth with me in this aggressive way.
We missed around here about how information's been shared with the press corps around here.
What do you missed about?
Everything he just asked about.
And then every time I come back and I answer the question that
you guys asked correctly, didn't have to come back and clean it up.
I never answered the question incorrectly. That is not true. I was asked about a medical.
Yes, you don't answer questions. You do answer questions incorrectly. And most of the time you're like, you got to ask somebody else. I'm not privy to that information. You got to go this direction. You know what's so funny about this? The biggest reason why I think that so many Americans would actually claim, so many left-leaning Americans that get their news from specific places, would actually claim that this is brand new information to them, that the president's mental decline is something that they didn't know about until the debate, which is one of the only things that a whole lot of people usually watch before a presidential election, at least just the first one. So Biden really only had to get the first one right. He could have screwed up the second debate instead and gotten the same level of everything's fine he got after the State of the Union, where it seems like he was hopped up on a bunch of stuff. in order to sound somewhat better than he usually does. But nonetheless, and there were still mistakes. I love that. I played, I remember, several mistakes from the State of the Union, which have been ignored by most media. But I love that now all of these other places are starting to embrace this idea. Here's NBC News, and they brought on a Parkinson's specialist, Dr. Tom Pitts, and it's hilarious to hear him say toward the tail end of this clip how easy it is to tell that Biden is likely suffering from many of the common symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Here we go.
You noticed anything that gives you a red flag as a doctor?
Oh, yeah. I see him 20 times a day in clinic. I mean, it's ironic because he has just this classic features of neurodegeneration. I mean, word finding difficulties, and that's not, oh, I couldn't find the word. That's from degeneration of the word retrieval area.
He's also overcome stuttering, though. Could that be part of that, too?
No, this is not a palatal issue or a speech discrepancy.
I love that you do all the basic stuff. You're like, well, but the stuttering thing. That probably makes you incapable of thinking, right?
Which is very different from a lemino dysfunction, actual word retrieval, where you pick a similar question or talk around the issue, plus the rigidity, monotone voice.
Wait, go back to that, the rigidity. What do you mean?
Rigidity, loss of arm swing, standing up lordotically. You notice when he turns, it's kind of end block turning. It's not a quick turn.
Yep.
That's one of the hallmarks of Parkinson's is rigidity and bradykinesia, slow movement. And he has that hallmark, especially with the low voice that said was a cold hypophonia, a small monotone voice like this over time is a hallmark of Parkinsonism. I could have diagnosed him from across the mall.
He could have diagnosed him from across the mall in DC. I love that sentence because these are the things that make no sense. And these are the things that should wake a whole lot more people up. It's the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop. And I know that somebody on the left rolls their eyes and gets all mad when you say Hunter Biden laptop. But my favorite was when they were saying they could not confirm the accuracy, the legitimacy of the laptop that Hunter left. And then years later, not only can they confirm it, but the government uses it in their case against Hunter for his felony gun charge. That's about as amazing as it gets. There's no better way to demonstrate to those that put their fingers in their ears and ignore everything that media lies to you. And it lies to you by taking advantage of you and how trusting or gullible or whatever it is that some of the people out there in the world are. I know a whole lot of other people are very awake and aware of what's going on. But nonetheless, these people who are asleep at the wheel, they just allow media to make excuses, to say it's not what you think, it's not what you think. And then media hopes for just one example that backs them as opposed to 25 a day that totally throw out of the ether, or throw out of any level of accuracy what they're saying is true. And then as soon as that one example happens, like, see, look at that. That's what we mean. Everything's fine. How dare anybody question this at all? Jon Stewart did do a pretty long rant about how bad Joe Biden has gotten. Of course, he crapped all over Trump, too, because it's The Daily Show and it's Jon Stewart. And to be fair to him, he's only been in media again, at least at that gig, for a few months. And he has been challenging the narrative that Biden is fine mentally the entire time he's been on TV, which not many people on that side or any people on that side of the aisle are doing. And he's certainly still very left in his opinions. But I did think two of these moments were interesting because even Stewart is pretending as though this is brand new information. And it wasn't brand new information to Stewart 3 months ago. So I don't know why people think it's so brand new, or even he would say that about the debate being the real point of, that's going on. And here he even proves it because he does a little bit, and I'll play a little of the audio of where some of the biggest, the worst moments for Biden have been and how far back they've been.
I thought I would take a moment to explain where the concern about Biden's performance might be coming from, and why these concerns may be seen as a more foundational issue. You see, even before the debate, there had been some troubling moments of disconnect from the president.
There had been a ton of troubling moments of disconnect. Here, he pulls out a little graph, and he starts to mark moments that he calls moments. And again, he goes back to 2022, to the start of this. But if you've been paying attention to conservative media, a media that Corinne Jean-Pierre called fake media, or she called it, cheap fakes, I think is what she called them, actually, which was where the video was real, but it was edited in a way to make it look worse for Biden than it is. None of those seem to actually be true anymore. for a vast majority of people. But here we go. This is a couple of the huh moments that Jon Stewart is willing to acknowledge.
For instance, in 2022, when we saw Biden give a shout out to Representative Jackie.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Unfortunately, Jackie was dead.
Uh-huh.
Something that the president seemed to have known 6 weeks earlier when he released a condolence statement about her death.
That's a bad look. And that's just one of the things that Jon Stewart is actually willing to say out loud into his cameras, into his microphone. There are more.
So,
ha!
Ha! Was the recounting of a recent conversation that the president had had with his counterpart, the president of France.
And Mitterrand from Germany, I mean from France, looked at me and said, how long are you back for?
Unfortunately, Mitterrand is also dead. For longer even than that first lady, so...
Yeah, quite a bit longer than that first lady, and also something that demonstrates how Biden has no idea what time it is.
Folks over at Kel-Tec, awesome firearms company founded in Florida in 1991, and they make boomsticks, very innovative boomsticks, quality-made boomsticks, family-owned and operated, and they share your values as well over at Kel-Tec. Now, they've got all kinds of firearms. We've been talking about the Sub-2 Cajun 3 for months now, and it's continuing the mission of the game-changing innovation and performance. The Sub-2 Cajun 3 Light Foldable Effective, and it features everything from reconfigured action, got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action, easy racking, lightened 5-pound trigger pull, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation. And Kel-Tec family-owned values at their best. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself. See the Sub-2 Cajun 3 where you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half, saving some space. You do with the other ones. See it for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com. And be sure to follow them on social media. That way you can be up to date with all the latest info. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love when stories say that this guy is usually thought of as very nice. Elton John is someone that a lot of people said it was a great meeting. Enjoyed him. He's you know, kind. He's humble. He's all that stuff. One French shoe store owner, excuse me, I didn't feel exactly the same way. He said that Elton John came into his store, said he had to go to the bathroom. The guy was like, I'm sorry, but I've got no restroom for you. So Elton John decided to, this is a real thing, according to this guy at least, pee in a water bottle in the middle of the store. You didn't even like find an area to go in. You're like, well, you can't go anywhere, so I guess I'll go here. And then you went. And then the bodyguard took the water bottle from him. That's got to be a terrible job. And then went about the rest of his life. I don't know if he bought shoes or not. None of that is updated here. That's a weird story. That's an interesting move. Other things out there as far as quick five topics go. United Airlines lost a wheel on takeoff of one of their flights recently. Yep, it was a Boeing airplane, a 757-200, that just wheel fell off. Like, we probably need that. We'll be fine. They did land okay. They land safely, which is impressive for the pilots. But I love the fact that on the heels of the story about how Boeing took a giant plea deal to not be tried for any sort of felony issues, and then they have wheels continuing to fall off a plane. That's still a thing out there in the world. Other stuff, the Rock, Paper, Scissor Challenge is the latest viral social media, specifically TikTok trend that is incredibly dumb. No, you're not just playing Rock, Paper, Scissors. Apparently, you stand next to a whole bunch of fast food of some kind that you just bought somewhere. Maybe they even sponsor the video. You play a rock, paper, scissor with a friend, and whoever loses has to run a lap back and forth from whatever room you're in, from the wall back to the food. And the person who wins gets to stuff their face with as much food as they can in as short as possible of an amount of time. And the viral video trend actually usually ends with one person eating all of the food, way too much food, after just one game of rock, paper, scissor. Don't do this, is what they're saying. A whole bunch of people are throwing up and doing other things because of it. Not smart is another thing that I'll just say about this move, but it's out there and it's real and it's dumb. Also, another quick story. Apparently, according to a brand new study out of Ohio State, if your boss is a huge jerk but really good at their job, you're fine with that. You accept it. You're happy with it. I'm sure there's political connections that people can make to this story. What I found interesting about this is I don't know when bosses were trying to be buddies and friends with people. I don't think you can be a good boss if everybody likes you, because that means that you're never telling them to do stuff that makes them mad, and a whole lot of people need to be told a lot of times to do things. You wouldn't have quiet quitting in office places where people just stop doing their work but don't actually leave their job if you had bosses that are like, hey, do work or you're fired, which is something that should exist and still, I think, does exist some places. But I love this, that essentially people are like, yeah, I like my boss. If they're good at their job, they yell at me, that's fine, as long as they're not terrible. It's basically the lowest common denominator version of my boss is as good as they should be at something. I don't know why this is rare or weird or any of that. But anyway, that's another story out there, another study that some people were surprised by. I thought this was interesting. Now, this might feel like it's off the beaten path a little bit. The mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, blamed Richard Nixon for the violence that exists right now in Chicago. It's real. I'll play the audio for you so you understand that I'm not just making that up. That's the strangest thing. I know that Biden is unaware of what year it is. I don't know if Brandon Johnson has to be added to the list of people who are unaware of what year it is. But this is a bad shot. This is a bad attempt. And there's emotion that seems to be fakely pouring out of the mayor as he talks about this. If you don't know, Mayor Brandon Johnson is a black man. He's going to talk about violence in the black community. I have some thoughts on that, too. And I'm a white guy, and I'm not going to be worried about the fact that, guess what? I'm going to tell you what my thoughts are. But first, here's the mayor of Chicago.
So we cut off the pipeline of boys between the ages of 10 and 19 being either victims or the perpetrators. So, yeah, it is personal. Black death has been unfortunately accepted in this country for a very long time.
All right, I want to pause it right there. There's something that I find fascinating about that conversation. Usually it's couched in some sort of version of, well, police, and we've got to change policing and this and that and whatever it might be. But the truth is, and this is coming from someone who lived in Chicago for over 10 years of my life. I still live just near the city of Chicago currently, if you need that information, too. It's usually black individuals, and unfortunately, over the last few years, young people that are hurting other black individuals. That's the black death that Mayor Brandon Johnson is referring to. By and large, it is a crime within a community, on the community in which it is happening. So there's a problem with the narrative that, say, white people or, say, you know, political structures don't care about this violence, or they accept it as something that's a byproduct of, quote unquote, racism, which feels like that's baked in out of some of these positions that Brandon Johnson or anyone else is going to take. But the simple truth, the reality, and this is needed to be talked about in order to solve a problem, like any issue that exists in the world, like the fact that Joe Biden's a terrible candidate and people denied the fact that he was a terrible candidate for a long time. And now actually talking about that might help the Democratic Party have a better candidate who probably would also lose to Trump. But anyway, what I think is so interesting is it's often ignored that this issue happening within a community against its own community is demonstrative of something very different than racism. It's demonstrative of something that is being taught within a community, whatever that might be. It might be that you don't have the opportunity to succeed, and because of that, you wind up turning to, you know, gang violence because you've given up. And it's not everybody, of course. The vast majority of people in any community don't enact in horrific violence. It's a very small, it's handfuls of people in every state that are the suspect of a majority of crimes. You can find that a bunch of places, by the way. Also not baked in any kind of racism for anyone that wants to scream and yell about me, I think the New York Times and others have reported on this. I think Indianapolis was one of the places they used as an example where they say it's like 24 individuals that they feel are more likely than not the perpetrators of a vast majority of violent crime within bigger cities. And that's an estimate, but it is true. And a police officer who's being honest with you would tell you that, or a police chief or a police captain who's not worried about being attacked by politics. So then what's the real solution to the problem? The solution to the problem is using a community to reach the young people, to reach the individuals who are throwing their lives away by participating in violence that is also harming the lives and upending families of people that are also in that community. That's something that matters. That's something that deserves to be talked about. And when I did do radio and other things in places like Chicago, I often would talk to community leaders, whether that's priests and religious leaders in communities or other individuals. Sometimes individuals who say they had a checkered past themselves and had found a way out of that past that said that they're the best conduit to reach a young person that thinks that their only avenue in life is violence, because those individuals can say that that's not true and they can help you become a person that doesn't do that. That is the truth of this. It's not Richard Nixon. But here, I'll finish the Brandon Johnson clip so you can hear him say it.
Years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson, and we ended up with Richard Nixon. I'm going to work hard every day to transform this city. That's what it takes to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago. I need everybody to step up.
You have to convince people that think that it's the right thing to do to hurt other people to not do that. That's what you have to do. It's that simple and that challenging.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.